Welcome back to Anime Cons TV. My name is Doug Wilder, and I just got back from Otakon 2023, once again held at the Walter Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. I know it's been a little bit since we've had a con report here, but let's get right into it. It was a pretty good year. I wouldn't say it was Otakon's best year, but I still managed to always have a good time. Right off the bat, one of the things I'm going to say is that they definitely improved how they were wrangling lines at this convention this year. It definitely seemed like things were managed a lot better. We saw the line for, like, say, the dealer's room and artist alley area, where there's a very long hallway in the convention center. They actually had dividers set up, which I think just helped the traffic flow. People going one direction were on one side, people going in the other direction on the other side. And it seemed to work out a lot better. One of the big things that they had this year was they had the company Big West, which is in charge of, like, primarily the Macross franchise and stuff like that. And this was their first time really having a real, not just kind of a panel or something, they had like a real presence outside of Japan, not just in the US, but outside of Japan. So they had a big booth at the dealer's room, things like that. They had a neat little exhibit of Macross stuff at the booth. Obviously, they are only promoting certain parts of Macross because this property continues to be an intellectual property quagmire on both sides of the Pacific, both in America and in Japan. But they had some neat stuff there. If you bought some merchandise from their booth, they had a little drawing where you could see what kind of pin you could get, which was a neat little thing. I saw people collecting them and trading them. And that was nice to do. It would have been nice if you could have been like, oh, I just want to buy this specific pin, but I understand that's kind of the draw of, you know, you want to get blind one so you have try and trade with other people. They had like Shinya Maki, Hidetaka Tenjin, Shikoji Kamori, and Tara as guests, and they had a couple panels together. One of the things I really noticed about the panels that they were on, like they were on a kind of a mech designing mecha panel together, is even though they were going through a translator for the crowd, they seemed to play off of each other really well. They interacted well with each other. They could have known each other for a while. And that dynamic was really nice to see. And you don't see that too often with Japanese creators at conventions. Usually it's only like one, or if there's more than one, they don't really bring them together because they haven't worked together that much. But this, they seem to really talk well together and just got a good dynamic. Overall, I was a little mixed on the panel content at the convention and just panels in general. I feel like needs a little bit more attention. I won't say it's completely broken, but there was definitely some things I thought were a little questionable. One of the things I noticed was they didn't have a dedicated tech staff or tech for every room, including, I mentioned that and with all the people that worked on Macross and other mechanical designs, they didn't have a dedicated tech staffer there, and they first setting up, and these are VIP guests, not too, and they also was some nosebleed, ironically, from the idle space next door in this one room. So I think it's one of those things that I think Otakon needs to push a little bit more of getting people, you know, dedicated staffers, one person in their room at all times for tech. And I know it's a lot more manpower, but I think you avoid some of these issues that people were having with that. I understand having someone at the setup is one thing, but things can happen. You know, computer can have a hiccup and everything. So I think they need to have a better dedicated tech staffer for, especially for big content or big rooms and stuff like that. Some of the other stuff that was just really kind of weird was a lot of the scheduling for panels just seemed to not make sense. There was content about giant robot stuff or mecha that was against each other, which I am all for having more of that thing, but I don't like having seen stuff where you're competing with each other because, one, people often want to go to both those panels. If they're going to want to go to one, they're going to want to go to the other. But also, then the people that aren't interested in that content, that gives them fewer options of things to check out. We also saw Yuri versus Yuri and Bike characters, panels against each other, things like that. I went to one panel about like it was like Comp Bags 101 or something like that. I'm forgetting the name at the moment. And this presenter felt a little disorganized, like they were just kind of laughing off, like having a lot of in jokes with their stuff like that. And like they didn't do a very good job of introducing themselves. Like they said, "So, oh, I've been going to cons for 10 years and stuff like that. Oh, and I am God." And a lot of people just kind of fell flat and it didn't make sense. And I actually left the panel because I just felt like the information wasn't being relayed. There was too many tangents, and like I said, there was in jokes with their co-panelists. And then they just said some stuff that wasn't true. Like they said, "Oh, well, 10 years ago there weren't cosplay repair stations at conventions." And I hate to be that guy, but I was at conventions 10 years ago, and I definitely remember several of them having cosplay repair stations. Even, you know, especially bigger ones like Otakon. Maybe they weren't as prominent as they are now, or things like that, but they definitely existed. And it just really felt off. I did go to one panel that was about anime in the Philippines, which was neat to see a little bit of like what became popular and things like that. Of course, Voltes 5 came up in discussion and things like that. And it was just really good stories about how it's gotten into the culture in a country other than America and Japan. And that was really good. I will say the panel's speaking style was needed a little bit of work, and I think that's just one of those things that keep doing what you're doing, just get practice, do it more often, and get used to presenting at cons. And I think this panel would be even better. So I hope that panelist keeps going and keeps improving. And I will just say, as someone who knows those panels themselves, I know that sometimes I look back at how I was years ago, and I've definitely seen like, oh, I could be so much better. I also learned a lot by watching other panelists and seeing how they organize and how they present, and that helped a lot. Again, one of the other disappointing like schedule ones was I went to a panel by Lorna Osiri and John Bowers. That was the Onsen one, which was really fun and really informative. And I like that, but again, it's a Hot Springs episode. And it was scheduled against a panel called, "Oh, it's a baseball episode." So even though, yes, it's two different topics, it's like, oh, there's the specific episode trope panel against the specific episode trope panel. And it didn't make sense. So moving on, one other panel that was I enjoyed, but it was very strange, was I went to the Azuki, which is the digital manga company panel. And they've been around for a couple years now, but so they're not, you know, the biggest name in the game right now, but they're significant and they're growing, and their industry, their panel is scheduled to start, not end, start at 10:45 at night. So obviously, even though they're a digital, you know, industry person, they did get a big crowd, and it was kind of disappointing that like this is an industry person not getting a decent slot. So that's some of the other stuff. I will say there was the train theme for the convention this year, and they did some good stuff with that. And there was a couple panels. There was even a giant robot panel, which was great. You saw a couple other things like that. They had a very large, like I'm talking like two floors tall, like train station gate inside the kind of the big areas of that, really, you know, branded Otakon and stuff like that. And that was really neat to see, and I like seeing stuff like that. They had a video game in the video game room called Densha De Go, which is basically you're piloting or engineer for the train in like Tokyo and or parts of Japan. On the trails and making sure you don't speed up too fast or slow down too slowly and things like that. And it's neat to see, but at the same time, I was watching it a little bit, and that game has a very long tutorial mode. And so people were lining up for it, but they were waiting a long time just to play this one game. But I also saw them, and I cringed a little bit when I saw this, but they had both given away and were actually selling at their booth Otakon branded like wooden train whistles. And I was a little bit perplexed by this. I thought that was like, oh, that's going to be a headache. Like, the last thing you want is more people making more noise at the convention. And I didn't really hear it, but which was kind of surprised, but I still, as maybe this is the old man in me speaking, just like, oh, we don't need more noise. One of the other things that I will say was really good, though, was I was glad to see that their makerspace had returned. This continues to be, I think, a really good place to just poke your head in and see what people are working on. They had some actual content and stuff like that, a stamp rally for parts of it, and I really liked seeing that. I want to give a shout out to the staff there that they had Otakon branded aprons in the makerspace, which that's a really cool thing because, you know, you're working with materials, it can get dirty and whatnot. And I thought that was a great idea. So I really hope they keep up the makerspace. Even though I don't use it that much on my own, I think it is a very good thing to see. And I really hope they continue with it. So some of the other stuff I will say, once again, the dealer's room is always one of the better ones that I like. I think there's always a good mix of different kinds of vendors and stuff like that. But I did see some things that were a little strange. Other conventions promoting at Otakon, so they had a table and stuff like that. It was very weird that I saw some of them in the dealer's room, some of them in the artist alley, and some of them even in the video game room. It seemed very weird. I kind of wish they would just pick one location and stick with it. Ideally, I think in the dealer's room, there is enough space that you can do a good designated con row of that, but kind of keep it really consistent there. Because I think if you have a convention promoting another event, saying, hey, come see us at Otakon, and you're trying to figure out where that con is having their table, when it's three different possible locations, it gets a little confusion. I went to the Artist Alley and I saw a lot of good stuff. It's been very interesting to see how art has evolved and stuff like that. But one of the things that I kind of was a little, not even annoyed about, but just got a little tired of seeing is that there was a kind of a very similar color palette at a lot of vendors. Everyone seemed to be using that kind of the pink and teal neon pastel color palette. I'm not sure quite how to put it into words, over and over again. And that's not that it's a bad style or these people are bad artists, but when you start seeing only that, you kind of wonder, well, I've already seen that, I've already gotten that. I would have liked to see a bit more variety from artists. I think the quality of their stuff was good and the variety of subjects was good. It was just this, again, the single palette of colors just kept coming up again and again and again. Of course, will I go back to Otakon? I continue to have a great time. It's been interesting to see how the con has grown into the Washington Convention Center space. I definitely talked with a few people that I know had gone to Otakon almost as long as I have. Some of them have even going longer. And a lot of us have commented that the convention has kind of changed how it is in the Washington Convention Center versus how it was in the Baltimore Convention Center. The pulse has kind of evolved, and I don't think the change of venue is the only thing to blame for that. Some of that is we had the pandemic. Some of that is that the industry and the fandom continues to change, and so that some of that is unavoidable. Oh, speaking of the venue, I will just say once again, I didn't have a problem last year, but I did have it 2 years ago, and I had this problem again as I went into the AMV screening room, and for whatever reason, that room was just way too hot, way too muggy, and I couldn't get in past the trailer section. It was just that uncomfortable. I don't know what they need to do in that room for that level of people, or if they need to just find a better home for it. I know they have the AMV theater room where it's all AMV programming, but that room, they need to make that better. They need to make it, like, just blast the air conditioning as much as possible or something, because that room was so hot and it just wasn't flowing, and I really want to see them fix it because I do enjoy going to the AMV contest. And where after 10 minutes, they keep doing it, it's it's a little too hot. The other thing I will just say is they continue to use the same intro of using the ELO song Twilight to introduce the contest. And I understand that intro videos are kind of a thing for AMB contests and stuff, but when it's a full song, it just really kind of bothers me, because it's like I don't want to see an AMB, another music video, promoting the music videos. Just do shorten to the point, have fun, and get the show rolling. I think it's time to retire that. I'll be perfectly honest, guys. And I love AMBs at Otakon, but I think this is something that they need to move on from. Okay, now I'm going to really wrap up for real and say that I did still enjoy the convention. I still had a lot of fun. And I will be coming back next year. You guys can't keep me away. I have a lot of things. But last, I'll just close out. I was able to take some time during the convention and interview the convention president and talk a little bit about how Otakon has evolved and how things are going, how they're feeling about this year and next year and stuff like that. So, well, I'm going to wrap up here and just say thank you guys for watching. Let us know what your favorite parts of Otakon was, or what you're hoping that Otakon will do in the future. And we'll see you guys again soon.